Good evening. Hope you've still got your Bibles open there. I can't preach in a helmet. I can't preach in gloves either. But please keep your Bibles open there at Colossians 3. What do these clothes tell you about me? Addiction. Well, that's a little bit strong. Sorry? I'm in the wrong spot. What else?
Passion.
Passion? I'll give you the obvious one. They point towards me being a cricketer, perhaps. I know you're struggling with that because I'm not a very good cricketer. I do enjoy cricket, though. Passion, that was close. If I turned up to a cricket match without my cricket gear, would I still be a cricketer? I would be, wouldn't I? Do I need the clothes to be a cricketer? No. It's not the clothes or the gear that make me the cricketer. Although it could be a little bit difficult and a little bit scary to even face the bowling I face without pads, that's for sure. On a different note, for those of you who have no interest in cricket, my nephew is currently training to be a paramedic. And when paramedics are called to an accident, what is it that tells us they are paramedics? Sirens, that's a good giveaway. They arrive in an ambulance, that's helpful. They usually have a uniform with a big paramedic written on the back. Is that right, John? Is that, am I?
Some do, some don't, yeah.
And they usually carry one of those big first aid kits, which has got a whole lot of equipment in it. Leaves my little box of Band-Aids and a bottle of Dettol pretty much to shame. Does all that equipment, the ambulance, the uniform, the first aid kit, does that make them a paramedic? Doesn't, does it? Doesn't. Are they still a paramedic even if they don't have the uniform and they don't have the first aid kit and they don't have the ambulance? Yeah, they are. So what is the purpose then of the uniform? What is the purpose of the first aid equipment? What is the purpose of the ambulance? Doesn't it enable that paramedic to do what they've been trained to do, to save lives in the most efficient way possible? They don't have to waste precious time explaining who they are. It's obvious. And as they start performing the duties and responsibilities and use the equipment that they've been trained to use, it quickly becomes even more obvious who they are. So when it comes to Christianity, how should the Christian dress and what difference does it make? Well, that's what we're going to look at tonight. Before we do that, please join with me in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that we have heard your word read to us tonight. We thank you that your word penetrates deeply into our hearts and our minds. And as we now look to understand some of the words from your word, we pray that you would give us that understanding for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's go a step backwards before we look at how should the Christian dress, to the question, who is Paul talking to? And we're reminded that this letter is written by Paul to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. These are people who used to follow the ways of the world. At one time, Paul describes them as being alienated from God. They were enemies. But because of what Christ has done on the cross, they have now been reconciled by God to himself. In chapter 3, verse 12, that Matt just read to us, Paul describes them as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Chosen by God. The idea of being chosen by God takes us right back to Exodus, to that time where God takes the people out of Israel out of Egypt. He talks about rescuing them out of slavery and how they are called to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God calling his people out of slavery to become his royal priesthood, servants of the Most High God. Holy, set apart by God, for God. Dearly loved. God loved his people so much that he gave up his one and only son so that they could be spared his wrath. Jesus said to his disciples before he went to the cross, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And Paul, in his letter to the Christians in Rome, said, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." How often do you think of yourself as a person chosen by God, holy in the sight of God, dearly loved by God? And what difference does that make to your life? What difference does it make to know that you are chosen by God, that you are made holy through the blood of Christ, that you are dearly loved by God? Well, for Paul, it makes all the difference. It changes how we are to live. Paul says, because you are now different people, because God has changed who you are, you need to dress differently to reflect that change. No longer do you clothe yourselves, as we heard last week, in sexual immorality, in lust, in greed, in anger, in rage, in malice. Now, Paul says, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Let's think about these words for a minute. Clothe yourself with compassion. And no, Spiro and I hadn't talked before tonight. God's providence that we happened to be up to this part of the Bible, and Spiro was locked in with Matt months ago to come and speak about compassion tonight. But clothe yourself with compassion. Compassion is this sort of having this soft heart towards the sufferings and the misfortunes of others, to be so gut-wrenched about what is going on in someone's life that you actually care about what is happening to them. Are you clothed with compassion? When people see you, do they see someone who cares about other people? Are you someone who has consideration for the needs of others? Are you more likely to say it serves them right? Or is there something I can do to help? What about kindness? Kindness involves being other person-centered. Is that you? Think about the week that has just passed. How have you displayed kindness to others? What about humility or gentleness, patience? When we think of Christ, we think of all these things, don't we? Compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience. Every single one of those fits Christ. They all match him and who he is. They all describe how he responds towards others. Regardless of the situation, other person-centered. And yet, if Christ is your life, as Paul says to the Christians in Colossae, then we are hidden in Christ. So what do people see when they see us? Do they see the compassion of Christ? Do they see the kindness of Christ? Do they see the humility of Christ? The gentleness of Christ, the patience of Christ? As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. This is what people ought to be seeing. They ought to be seeing Christians who are full of compassion, who are kind, who are humble, who are gentle, who are patient. Because as they see Christians wearing these kinds of clothes, they are then pointed back to the God who created them. I think we saw a measure of what it looks like to be clothed in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience in the recent same-sex marriage plebiscite. I think if you've been following along, our Archbishop Glenn Davies, the way he has led the way for us in all of these areas, the way he's conducted himself, the way he's responded to a whole manner of media statements, radio interviews, TV interviews, and other media commitments. At times, in some very tough discussions, has reflected these things that we're talking about tonight. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. None of these things make us a Christian. Compassion doesn't save us. Kindness doesn't save us. No more than cricket clothes make me a cricketer or a paramedic's uniform makes them a paramedic. It is only through the blood of Jesus that we can be saved and be given the name Christian. But because we are saved, this is how we should now be dressing, to reflect the people that we have become in Christ. Well, in verse 13, Paul turns his attention to another type of clothing, the clothing of reconciliation. Bear with each other, Paul says, verse 13. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How are you going with forgiving your brothers and sisters in Christ? What grievances do you have against one another? There's a line in the Anglican prayer book. Some of you here may be very familiar with that. It goes something like this, and it's in respect to the preparation for joining in Lord's Supper together. You then who truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbours. Love and charity with your neighbours. That means you're actually at peace with your neighbours. You're caring for them. There's no grievances with them. Draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to strengthen and comfort you. During the 1950s, ministers in this area, Herschel Grove, Penshurst, the sort of St George area, they used to go and door knock the houses of the parishioners. And they would ask them, in preparation for upcoming Lord's Supper, are there any grievances that you have with anyone within the congregation? And if someone said yes, so what are you going to do about it? I'm not going to do anything about it. It's their problem. And if they weren't prepared to actually go and sort things out, when they turned up for Lord's Supper the next week, the minister wouldn't serve them. Now, don't panic. I'm not planning on door knocking each one of you this week in preparation for the next time we share Lord's Supper together. But as Christians, we need to remember that we're going to spend eternity together. Just have a look around. If your faith is in the Lord Jesus, you're going to spend eternity with other people whose faith is in the Lord Jesus forever. We are united together forever in Christ. We have a responsibility not just to get along with each other, but to actually forgive each other and not to withhold our forgiveness. If at all possible, we should be looking for opportunities to be reconciled to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul concludes this little section in verse 14 by saying, "And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." It's a good question to ask ourselves to see if we're dressing appropriately as Christians. Do I love my brother or sister in Christ? Do I? Is that obvious in the way that I live out my life? Is that obvious in the way I clothe myself? From the way I conduct my life? The next thing that Paul turns his attention to is peace. Peace within the body of Christ. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace. If Jesus is our Lord and Saviour, then how does that impact our church life? What difference does having peace with God make to the way that we live together as brothers and sisters in Christ? If God has reconciled us to himself and has made peace with us through his blood shed on the cross, then the way that we treat each other ought to reflect that peace. There can be no room in our hearts for any sort of hatred or contempt for each other. We must be at peace with one another. The Christian church gathering should reflect the peace that comes from Christ ruling our hearts. And be thankful, Paul says in verse 15. As the body of Christ, there is so much that we have to be thankful for. Do you thank God for your brothers and sisters in Christ? The last couple of weeks, been advertising a marriage seminar, which we had held yesterday here in this building, actually. And what a joy it was to be able to see a whole bunch of husbands and wives sitting next to each other, talking to each other, working through their marriages, trying to improve them, grow them. Devoting time to the blessing that God has given to them. And what a blessing it is for us tonight to be able to gather together as the body of Christ, to sit under God's word, to join together through God's Holy Spirit, to sing together, to pray together, to bear each other's burdens, to celebrate each other's joys. We've already prayed tonight for a dear brother and a dear sister who are currently in hospital. We've celebrated some terrific news about another dear brother and sister. Part of the body of Christ, being able to come together. Which brings us to verse 16. Have a look there, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Have you ever thought, as we sing or read together psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, that we're actually teaching each other? We're actually admonishing each other. We're actually correcting each other. We're actually showing each other how we should be living. The song that we sang just a moment ago, and thankfully these walls are not real thick so I could actually hear the words, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King, ever only all for thee. We are saying to God as we sing that song, God, here I am. I'm giving my whole life to you. Take me and use me for your glory. And we are saying to each other, this is what I know to be true. This is what is on my heart. As we affirm these words to each other, and as we affirm them to God, God takes those words. He addresses the issues of our hearts that need to be addressed. Brings a new depth to our singing, doesn't it? It also places a much greater importance on us to make sure that what we are singing is actually the word of God and not some false teaching. Because every word we sing is an affirmation before God and to each other. One more thing that Paul addresses here, verse 17, everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul has one more thing to say to us here about the way that we dress before we leave this section of the letter. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's a great catch-all test for us, isn't it? As Christians, how should we dress? How should we clothe ourselves? Reflect Jesus in every part of our life. Everything we say, everything we do. If we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved by him, then every part of our life ought to reflect Jesus and be a reason to thank our Heavenly Father. I hope when you reflect back on this section of Colossians that you don't just remember, oh, I remember that was the day Greg preached in his cricket gear. I hope that we can all remember that what we wear doesn't make us the person that we are. But it does reflect who we are. The clothes that the Christian wears, the clothes of compassion, the clothes of kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love, peace, and thankfulness, they don't save us. But they do reflect the God who saves us. So let us make it our goal to clothe ourselves more and more in clothing that reflects who we are as Christians. Please pray with me. Father God, speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you for the clothes that you have given us to wear. Help us to wear them more and more every day, so that in everything we say and everything we do, we may reflect the people you have called us to be, holy and dearly loved by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.